This week's edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memory of Howard Finkel.
I've announced some of the greats in this business as champions with a signature word. From Sammartino to Backlund to Hogan to Flair to Bret Hart to The Rock to Austin to Triple H to The Undertaker to Shawn Michaels to John Cena and many more, I wanted to make their ascension to the throne memorable and remembered by how I announced their win. Well, tonight, I'm going to steal a page from my playbook, if I may. Ladies and gentlemen, I, the Fink, Howard Finkel, am a new inductee into WWE's Hall of Fame Class of 2009. Thank you very much.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE makes cold COVID cuts. Florida says sports is essential. And the wrestling world loses one of its most distinct voices. Hello, everyone, and welcome to your weekly recap of the pro wrestling world. It's Sunday night's main event, streaming live on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's another isolation edition of the show, but I've got three guests on the way that's going to get you through the next 2 hours of a very informative program. First up, due to all the breaking news this week, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat COVID cuts, money in the bank at WWE headquarters, and take a look back at the career of Howard Finkel. Then it's on to my special guest of the show. She's a former WWE Women's Champion, Divas Champion, and Knockouts Champion. And she also happens to be one of my all-time favorites. Mickie James joins me tonight to chat about her road back to the ring, as well as her work with the nonprofit organization Child Help. Then in hour two, we'll have a Mickie James edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and I'll be joined by my midweek markout partner on the weekend, as Mark Andrada will be here to chat about this week in WWE TV and probably drop a conspiracy theory or two. All that's on the way, but first things first, let's get you updated on a very busy week in the world of wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Despite all the financial news this week, I wanted to start with the loss of someone that was a voice that many of us grew up with, and that, of course, is Howard Finkel. WWE announced on Thursday that the Hall of Fame ring announcer passed away at the age of 69. No cause was given for his death, but we had heard reports that his condition had worsened in recent years. Also, there has been no indication at present that there is any link here to COVID-19. Finkel was WWE's first employee after being hired by Vince McMahon Sr. in 1975 for the then WWWF. He was the voice of Madison Square Garden house shows and would be known as the WWE's primary ring announcer until the year 2000, when he made way for the combination of Lillian Garcia on Raw and Tony Chimmel on SmackDown. After being taken off television, which was always rumored to be for aesthetic reasons, he remained an employee of WWE as a historian. He was also inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2009, as the clip that I played there off the top, and also a member of the Real Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. He was inducted in 2018. A fun fact, Howard Finkel was the man who came up with the name WrestleMania. We will all definitely miss the voice of Howard Finkel. All right, we'll now get into this week's WWE business report. It was on Wednesday that the company decided to make their largest one-day series of cuts in their history. Here is who was released as far as talent goes. Drake Maverick, Kurt Hawkins, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, EC3, Leo Rush, Eric Young, Heath Slater, Aiden English, Kurt Angle, Sarah Logan, Referee Mike Chioda, Eric Rowan, Primo, Epico, Mike Kanellis, Maria Kanellis, Zack Ryder, Noe Jose, and my most surprising cut, Rusev. They also furloughed, meaning temporarily laid off, a series of agents, including Lance Storm, Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Dave Fit Finley, Pat Buck, Sean Daivari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, and Shane Helms. Also, NXT trainers Ace Steel, Serena Deeb, Kendo Cashin, and there has been a series of NXT talent releases as well, many of which are names that you may not know as they haven't made it on NXT TV as of yet. A lot of them haven't even made it to the house show loop, but a few notable names that you'll recognize: Tino Sabatelli, Cesar Bononi, Tenera Conti, Deonna Purrazzo, and Josiah Williams. Oh, and it also came out later in the week that Cassius Ohno was also part of one of these two groups. It's not clear, though, if he was let go or if he was furloughed. Now, many performers took to social media and did videos as a reaction to the cuts, including the first one, which was by Drake Maverick, who announced he'll still be competing in the WWE Interim Cruiserweight Tournament.
As of today, I have been released from my WWE contract. I'm very fortunate that WWE is still allowing me to compete in the NXT Interim Cruiserweight title tournament. But it's very likely that those will be the last matches I ever have. There's a lot of people I'm not going to get a chance to say goodbye to that I really loved, that I really cared about. That made me a better person. And again, I'm very fortunate that I still get that. Other people won't get that. But if these are the last three matches I have, I just want everybody watching at home to know that you'll have my all. You'll have everything. It's not about a title anymore. It's about my life. It's about feeding my family, paying my bills. So if I don't make an impression, if I don't win, that's it for me.
Is it just me, or like it just looks like COVID-19 can't kill kayfabe? Considering Drake making the tournament seem like a legit competition, and the announcers then making mention of him on NXT, saying he has something to prove when they promoted the match, honestly, this has my spidey senses tingling here, and I am wondering if it is part of an angle. It is WWE, and I put nothing above them. Other reactions from talent released included Drake's pal EC3 warning the wrestling world.
Warning. If you're watching this, this warning is for you. Every second of your life you spend staring at this screen is another second of your life wasted. Aimlessly watching, commenting, scrolling, liking, sharing, trolling. Is your life so empty and hollow inside that you have to vicariously live through someone else? A celebrity, a musician, an actor, a politician, a blue check mark, a superstar. Do you read everything you're supposed to read? Do you watch everything you're supposed to watch, like what you're supposed to like, eat what you're supposed to like, think what you're supposed to think? Stop treading water. Challenge yourself. Damage yourself. Claim your individuality or you will become a statistic. Find your purpose. I have.
Okay, sure. I mean, that's one way to react. I guess EC3 wanted out anyway, so I can see this being a blessing in disguise, albeit not the ideal time for this to happen. Now, some more heartfelt reactions came from a couple other guys, one of which had actually asked for his release. But with a couple new kids and his wife also getting the axe, Mike Bennett provided this heartfelt reaction.
thank you to all the fans and the supporters who have been there with me and Maria for as long as we've been doing this and have been there since I started at WWE or even before on the indies. I love you guys. You guys pour me, you guys have poured on this love and support that I'll never forget. I will never forget. And these times are tough. They're hard. But we're going to be all right. We are. We're going to get through this. Maria and I, we will get through this. We beat my addiction together. We will beat this. Maria and I are raising a family together. There's nothing we can't do.
And finally, one that I just did not expect to be so genuine. No Way Jose posted up this message.
So, as you might have heard, I am no longer with WWE. So I want to, you know, just take this time to say thank you for everybody who reached out to me so far. There's a lot of you. Thanks for being fans. Thanks for whether you cheered for me, booed for me, danced with me, thought it was silly. Just thank you for making it all worthwhile. Thank WWE. And I didn't know going to Raw, you know, this last time would be the last time for a while. I would have let it soak in just a little bit more. But until next time, you know, this is your boy No Way Jose. But thank y'all for everything.
That's the best thing he's ever done. Now I feel horrible about all the bad things I've said about this guy. Granted, his character was garbage, and I've really never criticized his person, but more so his character, and that was WWE's doing. Naturally, we wish him all the best, and many of these guys are sure to rebound when the world gets through the mess we are currently in. Last week on the show, we were highly critical of the WWE continuing on with live tapings as opposed to pre-taping a bunch of episodes of their various shows. Well, rumors swirled that Vince McMahon changed his mind due to being worried about his TV contract. Well, he must have sorted all that out, since this week the WWE confirmed they would be returning to sort of bulk taping their TV. They're going to be running taping roughly every 2 weeks, starting on April 25th. They look to be taping 2 episodes of the shows per day. The schedule does drastically reduce travel for talent, which is a good thing currently, you know, considering the current COVID climate. Upon these details coming out, WWE also released the following statement. We believe it is now more important than ever to provide people with a diversion from these hard times. We are producing content on a closed set with only essential personnel in attendance, following appropriate guidelines while taking additional precautions to ensure the health and wellness of our performers and staff. As a brand that has been woven into the fabric of society, WWE and its superstars bring families together and deliver a sense of hope, determination, and perseverance. Yeah, okay, WWE. And about that whole WWE is an essential service in Florida. Well, during a coronavirus briefing, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis dismissed the idea that a super planned amortization class connected to President Trump's re-election campaign, which just so happens to be headed by Linda McMahon, and also so happened to contribute millions of dollars to the state of Florida just a day prior to the WWE announcing they were running live shows again, played no part in the executive order deeming WWE and other sports as an essential business. No part at all. Nope. Okay. Moving on, we already knew that WWE still had plans to present the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on May 10th, but this week it became very clear as to what they're going to present. As per the announcement on SmackDown, Money in the Bank will be held at the WWE corporate offices in Connecticut and is being promoted as Climbing the Corporate Ladder. We don't quite know what this means yet, but photos have been leaked of the ring on the roof. And apparently, multiple matches were taped earlier this week in a cinematic style. Now, reviews are generally positive of the WWE's use of the cinematic style at WrestleMania, though, personally, I mean, I do fear, like anything else, WWE has a tendency to go on overkill when they fall in love with the concept or gimmick. So, if all the Money in the Bank matches are done in this style, I'd expect the concept to be overexposed by the end of the pay-per-view, but we shall see. I mean, if nothing else, I'm intrigued, and it's probably a better idea than doing a couple ladder matches in the Performance Center. this week on AEW TV. Dustin Rhodes is due to square off against Kip Sabian and says if he doesn't win the match, he'll retire. Now, considering this match was taped a couple weeks ago and the winner goes on to face Lance Archer in the TNT tournament, which could make sense that Lance beats on Cody's brother before taking on Cody, I guess Dustin was just trying to get some interest in the match. So I don't expect a retirement on taped TV. To cap off our new segment this week, our weekly Dana White Crazy Corona Update. As of right now, he's off the private fight island kick and back into Las Vegas. He told Variety on Tuesday night that they will be running shows at their Apex facility starting in May. Here's the quote. "We built the Apex facility next door just in time to save the day from this pandemic. Live fights will be produced out of there starting next month and for the foreseeable future." This is what Dana said in an email to the entertainment publication. Now, there are still a variety of questions. Las Vegas has not confirmed the end of their ban on MMA events, but it is set to be done on April 30th. And since President Trump put in place his Operation Open Up America Again initiative on Thursday night, this has all been left of the hands of the state governors. There are still other concerns, though, about international fighters, if they're going to be allowed to travel to the United States to participate. But considering both Dana White and Vince McMahon are part of the president's economic revival group, I'm pretty sure we're going to have wrestling and MMA to talk about right through this pandemic, for better or for worse. And we shall continue talking in the next segment to Dave Meltzer. We've moved this up in the show today because there's lots of news. So Dave is next, Mickey Jameson still in this hour, and then Mark Andrada will join me later. So we are taking a break, but you are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. I've seen better days.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And, if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged, for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
It's time! It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. This segment has been moved way up in the show tonight because when it comes to a week like this of wrestling news, let's get the facts and let's get them from the man that we depend on, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, you know, I say each and every week, hey, maybe it'll slow down because we're in the midst of this pandemic, but wrestling is, it's busier than ever, maybe just for all the wrong reasons.
It's newsier than ever. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's busier than ever, but yeah, from a news standpoint, this week had, you know, pretty much every day there was a story that seemed to usurp the story of the day before. So like a lot of these stories, people, they quickly focused on them and then they moved on.
Yeah.
You really didn't get a lot of depth of thought because something else bigger happened the next day.
Well, okay, let's get into a little bit of depth here of one that deserves the time no matter what era it is in, and that is Howard Finkel, greatest wrestling announcer of all time?
I mean, I would say him and Jimmy Lennon, and they're very different, and it's hard for me to compare them. I mean, the one thing, you know, I mean, Howard Finkel was a classic ring announcer that everyone copies from, and Jimmy Lennon, like his son, had a very unique style that nobody but his son could copy from because of just the nature of the voice and everything. So they're two very different, but they were the two best for sure. And, you know, Jimmy Lennon was before most people's time, so Howard Finkel would be the guy most people would say, and he would argue it. And, you know, the the sad thing with the Howard Finkel, you know, and I said it when it happened, and I'll say it now, is that, and it's the difference with him and Jimmy Lennon, is Jimmy Lennon continued to be a ring announcer and voice in California until he was in his mid-70s, and Howard was taken off television at 45 and then again put back on quickly and then taken out again at 47. And Howard very much, when you look at his career and you look at behind the scenes, there's so many similarities between Howard Finkel and Jim Ross. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they both worked behind the scenes in talent relations as well, and they were both taken off television far too early despite their immense talent simply due to age and cosmetic reasons.
Yes, and they both were bullied by management,
mm-hmm.
and they were both huge sports fans, and they both loved professional wrestling at a level that few people did. Those are, you know, just a couple of the similarities, but it really hit me and hit other people too when I was writing about Howard, and it's just like, you know, I just read Jim Ross's book and there's a lot of similarities here, you know, as far as that goes. And Howard, you know, it's funny, Howard probably could have written a great book, but it wouldn't have been great because he would never, with what he knows, but he would never do that,
yeah,
in the sense of he could still write an interesting book, but I think that what he really knows he would never, because he was so loyal to the company and the business and everything like that.
He will definitely be missed. His voice will be missed. It's something that echoes in, well, as you said, you know, everyone tries to emulate Howard. He is the style and he is the voice for wrestling that many of us grew up with.
Yeah, no, I mean, the one thing with him is that his thing's going to be, you know, his legacy, I suppose, if we want to call it, or his influence is probably a better word. His influence will be something that will be around for generations, because the younger ring announcers now, every one of them grew up, some will just tell you, I copied Howard Finkel. Others will not say that, but they did, because that's what you learn. You know, you learn by what you hear and what you do, and everyone learned from Howard, because the one thing is everyone knew Howard was the best. You know, it's not like in some categories where we'll argue. You know, it's like for that generation, I mean, Howard was the best. He never made a mistake. His ability to build something or to make something seem really big, like he knew when to go hard and knew when not to go hard. He had great instincts. Like, you don't go crazy in the opening match of the card. You kind of give it some, but you make it better, right? You make the guys feel like bigger stars, but you can't go all out. And then in the main event, you know, when it's Hulk Hogan or Bruno Sammartino or John Cena or whatever, you know, you go out. And you know, if you watch the ring announcers now, they all do the same thing. If you would go back before Howard Finkel, the ring announcers pretty much, like, just introduced everybody. And that's what they did. They just introduced everybody. If you were the main event, they introduced you the same as if you were the opening match guy. Howard was one of the forerunners. I mean, Jimmy Lennon did a different way. He emphasized individuals in a certain way. It was very unique. Howard Finkel emphasized position on the card and gave that babyface star, you know, whether it was, like I said, Jimmy Snuka or whatever, he gave that babyface star that thing that when you came to the ring. And remember, for the first 7-8 years that he ring announced, there was no music. So it was Howard Finkel that got the people ready for that pop, and he knew exactly how to do it.
He will definitely be missed. All right, now we have to get into WWE being gross. I have been covering COVID-19 and what's going on extensively on the late night show I'm doing across Canada. Companies, I found, have done one of two things. They band together to help their employees and try to save, or the managers try to save their own ass and cut everyone. And some businesses, they had to. I mean, the restaurant business, the restaurants aren't open. They can try all they want to keep people employed, but the restaurants aren't open. There's going to come that breaking point. WWE does not have that breaking point. And instead they made all these cuts. Was it, having followed this company for so long, Dave, is this a surprise to you?
You know, here's the thing. It's like, I would say no, it's not a surprise, because history has kind of taught us that you know what I mean? That you can't expect anything, you know what I mean, like that. You know, not like that. But it was a disappointment, of course, because for the very reasons, it's like, if this was like you said, if this was a business, any business, and they're losing lots of money, even if it's the airline business, which is a million times bigger than Vince McMahon's business, but they're losing tons of money and they have to lay people off, right? It's like, that's the unfortunate realities right now, and it's sad. But when you are a company that is fixing to make record profits, and if even if it's not record profits, it's extreme profits. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it is possible maybe the profit margin will fall lower than last year. Maybe it will beat last year. But the point is that you're going to be exceedingly profitable. At this point in time, as long as you, any company to me that's turning a profit that lays people off right now is a scummy company. I mean, that's no ifs, ands, and buts. If you're losing money, it's different. But if you're making a profit now, that's all you can ask for, because most people aren't. You're fortunate that you're making a profit. Don't, you know? And, you know, for them, you know, it was like, we've got to keep our stock share up, and we got to, you know, it's like, we got to keep our dividend up. I mean, it's like Vince took a pay cut, but he did not cut his dividend, which is his real pay, you know, and if Vince would have just given up his dividend, just Vince personally, okay, and cut the dividend to a point where Vince gave up his share, okay, it would have covered every single wrestler and agent that got cut.
Yeah, yeah. And we've seen other owners and other founders of companies and CEOs take massive pay cuts. So
Vince can say he did too. But you know, and it is a cut. Vince will not make as much money this year as he made last year. But you know what? I don't know that any of us will. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
anyone
who's
independent, there's no way. I mean, unemployment's high. I mean, it's just inevitable. You know, it's like your financial goals. To me, you know, and I have a small company, my financial goals are much, much smaller than they were 6 weeks ago. And it's like, and it's not like, oh, what cuts can I make? It's like, I hadn't thought that for a second. And it's not like I'm going to make, you know, $121 million profit this year. That's the projection for WWE. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, you know. I'm really, actually, the people that, you know, people who argue this point with me, I get very upset with, because, you know, they talk about, you know, that Vince, you know, that they need to maximize profits. Well, it was interesting how they didn't need to maximize profits when AEW was more of a threat. It's also interesting that, oh, you have to keep your stock share up. It's like, it's, well, you know, did they think about that when they fired Barrios and Wilson?
Yeah.
Because they knew that was the stock share was going to plummet. And the reality is that they were to hire right now a big-time CEO, which is what everyone in the corporate world wants them to do, it would help their stock price more than firing all these people did. So it's like, it's Vince, you know, I mean, it's like, those arguments hold no water with me.
About these releases, I just wanted to talk about one in particular, because I'm suspicious of everything WWE does. Drake Maverick released that video. I'm sure you've seen it, talking about being cut. He's still competing, quote-unquote competing, in the Cruiserweight tournament. Dave, he was really fast to put up that video, and he just made everything seem like an angle here. Can you possibly see, with Drake, this being an angle and him being hired back?
I mean, put him being hired back is always possible.
Is he actually gone? Is this an angle with him?
I don't believe it's an angle.
You don't? Okay.
No, I don't believe it's an angle. I don't think they're going to work somebody's release right now. But, you know, again, could they hire somebody back? You know, I don't. They could hire anybody back. They've done it, you know. They can change their mind. Vince changes his mind every single day.
It just seems suspicious that, you know, his name is still being mentioned on TV, and they said on NXT he's really got something to prove. So it's like they're playing into what he's doing and he's playing into what they're doing.
Well, put it this way. If he wins the championship, then I think we can all go back and say this was an angle.
Gotcha. All right.
If he goes 1-2 in the tournament, it's four. If he goes 1-2 in the tournament, I say it's not an angle. 0-3, it's not an angle. 3-0, it's an angle.
Gotcha. Let's talk about Florida. They have proclaimed any sport an essential service. WWE, that means they're in the clear, and they'll continue on, and they flipped around their taping schedule. We spent a lot of time talking about this last week, where Vince was all about going live. What's changed? A conversation with the network here?
Yes. I don't know that Vince ever talked to the network before, and like we were talking last week, I don't know that his insistence on going live, well, I mean, it is in the contract, but it may have been paranoia that, you know what I mean? And a lot of people were thinking that, I mean, I know the discussion. You know, it was like, is the network really going to cut your money when you're giving them first-run product because you're not going live in a pandemic? And it's like, well, these companies themselves, Comcast and Fox, are not doing well either, and they'll do anything to cut it. And so maybe that was Vince's paranoia, and Vince believed that, and he had to go live for contractual reasons. So that's what he did. And then after that story kind of came out, both Fox and Comcast told him, "Hey, I don't know if it's like don't blame us."
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't have to go live every week. So now Vince is taping more. It's going to be like looks like it's. It varies, but it looks like it's going to be live pretty much every other week type of a schedule.
It's like the old Raw schedule.
It's very similar to the old Raw schedule, yeah. Yeah, you have a live week, and then you have a taped week. And, you know, for this point in time, it's a cost saving. You know, the more tapings you do at a certain period of time, you know, whatever. The other thing, too, is it's way easier on Vince. Because if you look at that new schedule, it doesn't benefit the talent at all.
No.
But it's way easier on Vince because he doesn't have to go twice a week, Monday and Friday, to Florida, which is, you know, each trip is sort of dangerous and everything. And it's more like Monday, Tuesday, stays there, goes home, comes back, you know, actually the next week. So it's slightly less flights, and it's a little bit cost effective as well. So
They can,
you know, and it is easier for talent in a sense, but well, not really, because most talent's still going in once a week, sometimes every other week. So it's maybe a little easier, maybe not. But I mean, it's not enough time to where the ones who want to
quarantine. That's the key.
Yeah, they don't have the chance to do that still. No,
yeah,
and they still see their families if that's, you know, whatever, you know. And then, you know, there's a lot of wrestlers are handling it different. There are some that don't live in Tampa or in Orlando. That are staying in Orlando. There are some that are going home and quarantining themselves, and some that are not. And they're probably the majority, actually.
With Florida opening this up, what is UFC's plan right now? Dana said sticking in Vegas, because now that Florida's open, it seems like an easy go over there.
Yeah, I think that they want to run their own arena in Vegas, and him going so strong on it makes me think that he pretty much knows the commission will okay it.
Which, right.
By doing so... that means that the commission is going against their doctors, because their doctors specifically just last week came out with a paper to say these are the reasons that nobody should be running, which includes pro wrestling, by the way, because it's ringside professionals, and that includes all sports, boxing, kickboxing, MMA, and pro wrestling, all combat sports. So, it's weird to me, but it's the sign of the times that the doctors will tell you it's not safe, and the commission will say, come on, it's okay. But if Nevada for some reason just goes, hey, this is what our doctors say, they can go to Florida, because the Florida commission has already made it very public that we're not stopping anybody. They're already public that we're not listening to our doctors either.
Yeah, yeah. Money in the Bank, is it already filmed?
I don't know that it's already filmed. It's obviously not going to be live.
Yeah, so they're doing matches in Stamford, Connecticut, at the headquarters.
Got two mini movie matches.
So it is just two. They're just doing two Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The men's and the women's, yeah.
And then all of the brands will be taking part.
Just Raw and SmackDown. I don't think there's NXT.
Because Charlotte was featured on the poster.
But Charlotte's Raw.
But Charlotte has the NXT title.
Oh, well, she may defend the NXT title against, like, Io Shirai on the card, yeah. Yeah.
Right, I guess. Oh, yeah, I guess she could be. Well, that's. I mean, I guess they could be integrating NXT into these pay-per-views if there's no plans to do takeovers.
Yeah, because there's no takeovers for a while.
Right, okay. This is a very interesting decision, because they're not moving out of these headquarters, but they're going to do matches within them. I could see if they were moving, let's trash the building, but that's not the case.
Yeah, I guess they're going to trash the building a little bit, but yeah, I guess that they're going to have to. They're going to have to trash the building. They're going to have to end up on the roof.
I mean, I'm in favor of WWE trying new stuff at this point. I don't think ladder matches work very well in an empty arena. What's your take on this? I mean, they're going to go back to the cinematic thing, I'm guessing.
You know, people like the cinematic thing, yeah. So we're going to go with it, and, you know, might as well in this time do something different. I'll tell you this, though. I think that if they do it every month, it's going to get real old. I think we've already seen overdone street fight thing. We've seen that with the ratings of the Gargano Ciampa and to an extent of the Moxley and Hager. That those long overdone street fights with Edge and Orton and everything, I don't think that that really works well. What's the other one? The ladder match. You know, we had so many ladder matches in a short period of time that at least these ladder matches are actually not ladder matches. They're billed as ladder matches, but they're anything but.
Yeah, and I guess we have no idea. The goal is to make it to the roof, and there's a ring on the roof, and then, but we don't know if there's a ladder in the ring. Like, we have no idea as of yet what's happening.
Right, right.
Huh. Well, it will be interesting. I am, you know, looking forward to it because something different is good, and this is the time to do it. Honestly,
it is the time to do it. Yeah, because we know that the other thing is that you need variety on the show because 3.5 hours of empty arena matches is very, very tough.
That is.
Guys are getting better at wrestling in the empty arena. I'll say that. You know, it's not as bad as it was when we started doing it, but it's still very tough.
Yeah, it definitely is. All right, Dave, that is great for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. In the Observer, I guess coverage, you've had coverage of the cuts in Finkel. What is coming up this week?
Well, there's more cuts since then. A couple of Dark Side of the Ring stories that I've already done. And, you know, whatever else happens this week, there'll definitely be a story on Dickie Steinborn, who passed away yesterday. And I'm sure, you know, story on the WWE changing schedule, but there's going to be, I suppose that there'll be something big every day that we just don't know about yet.
Yeah, yeah, that seems to be the way that it is, despite most of the world slowing down.
We got the Thursday is going to be the WWE Investors Call.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah.
And that's going to be interesting. I mean, these cuts were done to prevent a big drop at the call and just be an explanation of why. So we're going to get, I've got to think we're going to get a bad quarter in some way that will, you know, in some way. Well, of course, some things, look, I think that the WrestleMania bump for the network, it can't be as big as last year. I don't think. If it is, that's wonderful for them. But, and, you know, obviously, you know, merchandise sales and ticket sales and things like that. The last couple of weeks of March are down. Plus, you got to remember that they cut way back on house shows this quarter anyway.
They were
in that cutting back mode because, you know, they weren't as important. And then you've still got to explain, you know, and we all know the explanation, but these ratings are bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These ratings are bad. They're record lows, and they're going to stay that way. And that's unavoidable, but it is a fact, and it's part of the value of the company is these ratings. And it's across the board, you know, AEW too. You're not going to be able to draw the ratings. The ratings are going to be well down for everybody until we're back in arenas. I think that's a guarantee.
I can't wait to see how they spin it as a positive at the call.
I don't know that they can, but they're going to
try.
They're going to try. Yeah, who's going to be on the call too?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we used to be George Barrios. I mean, I know that, you know, who they had before and everything, but. But here's the problem. Vince will be, and, you know, here's another thing. Vince may make some really interesting quotes because, you know, he's Vince at this stage of the game, and he always says something that he probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, I look forward to that coverage, Dave, and I'll speak to you next week at this same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, of course, with our weekly check-in. He is the editor of the Wrestling Observer, and you can find all of his work at WrestlingObserver.com. I'm sure his bio on Howard Finkel will be pretty fantastic. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's do a little bit of turnbuckle trivia. Very early in the show, we'll do that about our guest who's coming up in this hour as well, Mickie James. So a double shot of Mickie James coming up. Trivia and then the lady herself. That's what we're doing this hour. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Oh, Mickie, you're so fine, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey,
Mickie. If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have four beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We are back to playing the weekly games for t-shirts from ProWrestlingTees.com. Any t-shirt you would like. And now let's get into our contestants. Jonathan from Toronto is on the line. Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good, good. And you are a first-timer, and you're playing against another first-timer. That is Dave, also from Toronto. Hi, Dave.
Hey there, Jason.
All right, guys, here we go. Now, we're doing straight-up trivia today, no games, and your trivia category is our guest on tonight's show, Mickey James. Jonathan, your player one, Dave, your player two, and away we go. Jonathan, in what state was Mickey James born?
Texas.
Incorrect. Great guess, I would say, because she does have that little twang in her voice. It's actually Virginia is the correct answer there. Dave, to you for question two. What name did Mickey use in ROH and TNA before her WWE debut?
I want to say Carol Baskin, but I know that's wrong.
That is incorrect. That's now on the radar, and I'm waiting for that parody. Alexis Lurie is the correct answer.
Okay.
Jonathan, to you, Mickey would find her way to the WWE in 2005 and debut as a fan of whom?
Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus is correct. What a great angle, that stalker angle. And led to a great match, Dave, that happened at WrestleMania 22. She would win the title from Trish at WrestleMania 22. Great match. She would then lose that title that same year, August 14th, to whom? So think back to that time period and take a guess.
I'm going to go with Lita.
Yeah, that's correct, Dave. Great
Oh, wow.
Guess. 1-1.
Okay.
Very good. All right, back to you now, Jonathan. Mickey would win the Divas title on July 26, 2009 at Night of Champions. Who did she defeat?
Michelle McCool.
It was not Michelle McCool. That's a great answer. It was actually Maryse, because Maryse held that belt far longer than she should have. Dave, to you for a comedic bit, or at least WWE thought it was comedic. In 2009, Mickey would feud with Lay Cool on SmackDown. What was the nickname they gave her? I guess? Oh, Dave, you're buzzed out for time.
Goodness.
It was, unfortunately... Piggy James is what they gave her. Yep.
Oh, damn. Expletive. I would have gotten that.
Horrible angle, and that's what they gave her the nickname of. All right.
I was trying to, because I know that Trish once accused her of having some junk in the trunk, so.
Yeah, and then they did the biscuit butt thing with Alexa Bliss recently, but no, she was Piggy James.
Piggy James, yeah.
All right, okay. Let's flip over for your question, Jonathan, to her time in Impact Wrestling. She'd go there around 2015. She'd go there way before that, but in 2015, when she declined to join the Revolution faction, which I'm sure you probably don't remember, TNA produced just a magnificent vignette in which whom literally pushed Mickey in front of an oncoming train.
I don't know.
You don't know this angle, Jonathan? Take
no.
a guess of a...
Chelsea?
No, it was actually James Storm. pushed Mickey James onto train tracks in front of a moving train in one of, even bad for TNA, and you know that's bad. Dave, back to you for this one. Returning to WWE in 2016 at NXT TakeOver, who did Mickey wrestle? It was right here in Toronto. Dave, take a guess.
Asuka?
Yes, that's correct. Very good.
Okay.
She wrestled Asuka. It was at the TakeOver Toronto event. It was clearly a spot that was designed for Trish Stratus, but Trish was pregnant. So Mickey got the call, and Mickey has been employed ever since. Now, Jonathan, you need to get this to stay in the game. It's your fifth and final question. You'll tie Dave, but he has another question after this. Mickey would move up to SmackDown later after her debut in NXT. She would don a mask for a short period of time known as La Luchadora with the intention of assisting whom to retain the women's championship?
Alexa Bliss.
That's correct, Jonathan. Very good. So, Dave, it comes down to this. It's a tie if you don't get it, but if you do, you've got the win. It was during a live event on June 1st, 2019, that Mickey tore her ACL. Who was she facing in that match?
I'm just going to go for a guess and just say Charlotte Flair.
It was not Charlotte Flair. It was Carmella. With that, we have a 2-2 tie. We go to a tiebreaker. For this, Dave, you'll have to go first. Jonathan, you'll have to go second. It's closest to without going over, unless you both go over. So, Mickey had held the WWE Divas title. She held it once, but how many days, as recognized by WWE, did she hold it for, Dave?
Oh, 132.
All right, and Jonathan?
100.
100. The correct answer is, as recognized by WWE, 79 days. Congratulations, Jonathan. You've got a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
Thank you.
Sorry, Dave. Tragic. Tragic. I bring it all back to Piggy James and not getting Piggy James.
Well, what can I say?
It's an angle that we all
tried.
Fan,
so yeah. I tried to wipe it out of my memory.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Jonathan, do you know what t-shirt you want?
I have to look.
All right, you take a look, and then you get back to me, and we will trade messages.
Okay, thank you.
Remember, if you think you would have done better than Jonathan or Dave, then you should get into the mix. Get into playing Turnbuckle Trivia. I'm actually putting in all of the next few months' games right now. I sent out the email last week. Hey, patrons, by the way, if you are at Turnbuckle Trivia level or above, there's an email waiting for you. Check your Patreon, because it's there. Reply to me, and I will get you locked in for some time. There's a lot of you, so sometime in the next few months, though, we'll get you locked in. If you are interested, now is the time to register. Hit the Turnbuckle Trivia level. You'll get a message back from me immediately, because I'll see your upgrade to that level. And new patrons out there, jump on in. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. If you would like to play Turnbuckle Trivia for your chance to win a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com, sign up right now, and I'll get you on into the mix over the next couple months. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's a break, and then back with, well, the topic of our trivia game. Mickey James joins me next right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth Loransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f**ks. Tough Guy
Hardcore Country!
rockin' Southern girl, run it wild and free.
Hey, y'all, walking through the door.
High class style, country to the core.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Our featured interview this week is one of my favorites. Loved her in WWE when she came in as the stalker character for Trish Stratus. Thought she got a great rebirth in Impact Wrestling as Hardcore Country, the delusional country singer. And it was great to chat with her this week. Now, this interview, most of it was actually done for my late night show, which is called The Late Shift, where Mickey was on to talk about the work she was doing with a nonprofit organization called Child Help. So we'll delve into that a little bit, talk about that organization. But along with that, I had to take care of you guys out there and ask her some details about rehabbing her knee because she had the ACL problem and the surgery. And then her thoughts on WrestleMania, you know, working with no crowd. And she was also doing a little bit of commentary recently. So we talk about all of that. Mickey James, right now on Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, thanks for coming on, Mickey, and taking time out. Now, I do want to talk, obviously, about Child Help. It's a great organization, but, you know, I'd be remiss if I first didn't ask you about what happened today. Earlier today, news broke that the wrestling world lost one of its greatest voices of all time, Howard Finkel. I was just wondering if you have some memories of the Fink. Everyone who knows the Fink loved the Fink. And
everybody loves to think
exactly.
It's a sad day in wrestling. It is a very sad day in wrestling. You know, I always remember Howard from when we would come back from the tours and he was always there. It would be 3-4 o'clock in the morning with all of our stuff. Like, hey, welcome back team. Welcome back guys and gals. And like, just with a big smile on his face. And Howard was just the best and he's truly going to be missed. And I don't think that you know, obviously the impact that he made on the industry itself is monumental. However, I think that he just was such a genuine man, and he was so sweet, and then he just touched everyone that he came in contact with. So we're all going to miss him.
Yeah, one of my broadcast colleagues has had the chance to chat with him multiple times, and he it was always such a fun chat. He was always so spirited, so we'll definitely miss the Fink. Now, I did want to touch on, you know, we're in the midst of the coronavirus. Everyone's self-isolating. I'm wondering how you've been dealing with life as it is right now.
It's actually been, well, so we've set up, I'm back in Virginia. We came back to Virginia because my family, my friends, I feel like it's a better network here. And plus if stuff was to go really crazy, like my family has land and stuff, so we could totally camp out.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it was like apocalyptic kind of stuff, which thank goodness it's not. but we have our, like, you know, gym set up in the basement, and Donovan's been loving it, honestly, because we're both home every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
And we can build 5 different train tracks a day and play outside all day. You know, it's actually been a really bit of a reset button almost, you know. So, yeah, just trying to keep, you know, just keep going and try to still keep thinking, like, what you can do to be productive and to stay so your whole day is not spent like worrying about this virus, I guess, is really the thing, you know?
And I did want to slip back into chatting about the reason why you're on the show tonight. That is, you're an ambassador for Child Help. And as we mentioned, it's an organization that assists abused, neglected, and at-risk children. And, you know, one of the reasons why having you on during the COVID-19 pandemic to speak about this is all the more relevant is when people are in their homes, as you just said, we're all in our homes and isolated. You know, you think, oh, that's great family time. But if you are a child that suffers from abuse from another family member, this is a complete and utter nightmare.
They're in a living hell, a literal, because you think about it, and this is the other, you know, well-known fact is that most children of abuse are victimized by those who are closest to them. So, and you know, so now we're all stuck in our homes, and when you think about it like that, we're all stuck in our homes. And these kids are now stuck in their homes with the people that are hurting them, you know, and that's a really sad thing when you think about it. And in a time where people are frustrated because they're losing their jobs and they're stressed out. So then everything is escalated and emotions are heightened and senses are heightened. So, you know, it's scary and it's terrifying. And I think that what Child Help is doing, but, you know, by creating this hotline and creating the text app to make it a lot easier for, you know, kids to be able to get in contact with someone if they are being abused and or if they know of someone that's happening to. And it's just, and it opens those doors to the lines of communication that whatever way that person or that child finds the easiest way to communicate and to get help, you know.
And for those interested in the organization, they can find it online at childhelp.org. I do have a couple questions about you. Obviously, we talked a bit about the ACL and the injury, and I'm wondering how the recovery's going.
It's going great, actually. I feel really, and I say that, and I feel really good in moments. Like, I'm due to return. Like, I felt like I was so, so close to getting ready to be cleared. And then, obviously, my timing, per usual, is impeccable. But I was like, you know what? Maybe it's a blessing. I feel like everything is always, you know, you just never know. There's a reason for everything. So I've just been kind of still steadily rehabbing because even now, like, and I'm this 9 months or whatever it is post-surgery I still can tell within myself where perhaps my hamstring isn't as strong as my other one and they are not completely equal. So if I have more time in my own right to just continue to heal and recover and build to come back, I'd rather come back at like 110% than 90, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for sure. So. And it's great that, you know, you're making your way back and are still there because yesterday, I mean, the hammer fell at WWE with a whole bunch of talent being released. Glad you weren't on the list, obviously. You know, I was truthful in my opening where you are one of my favorites to watch. And
Thank you.
It has happened to you before, though, where you were released from WWE. You since have made, obviously, a triumphant comeback. So to those out there that got the bad news yesterday, is there any advice? First of all, how did all of that make you feel yesterday? And is there any advice you could impart on them?
It was heartbreaking. It was very heartbreaking because I've been in that position before. And I think, you know, I know how I handled it the first time compared to I was very prepared in the moments of like thinking of like, all right, I could very well get a call today, you know, because I am out injured and I have been injured. And I'm very blessed to still, you know, have a job. It's sad because it's my friends and my brothers and my sisters that got let go, and it's people that I really love and care about. But I don't think this is a for certain, definite, forever thing, you know? And it's a crappy situation and it sucks. And I wouldn't want to be Vince making these decisions. I wouldn't want to be Mark Carano making these calls. And I wouldn't want to be the other person on the other line, you know, answering the phone to that, because that sucks. And I know what that feeling is like. And I think mentally now I was prepared to handle it much differently than I did the first time. Because in the first time when I'm going, you know, I gave everything to get here and it was so much sacrifices and I felt like I lost my whole dream. I lost everything. And this time my focus was different. It was about not just about the fame and the glory, but it was about like succeeding and proving everybody wrong and winning the championship and all these. And I never really thought about it from a business aspect as well. And so this time when I was looking at it going like, well, I guess, you know what I mean? When you're having to cut like and see what expenses you're using, you're not using, you're doing, like I would have probably been on that track, but this time I would have handled a little bit differently because I am fully aware of the fact that I've had to have life outside of WWE and move past it and was still successful and was able to come back and still be myself, you know? So it seems in those moments that it's the end all be all, but you just have to like, just continue to keep moving forward. And I don't even think it's a forever thing. And especially for most of them, it's just a temporary thing. And that's what my hope is, you know? And I hope that we don't, you know, there isn't another set of cuts that comes and then, you know, you just never know. And so I'm very blessed and very fortunate and I'm grateful and I'm so, so sorry for my friends and I wish them like nothing but the best. And I know they're so smart, you know, like that's the thing is we have some of the most talented people in the world. Like they're going to be fine. Like they're going to be land on their feet. They're going to come up with different, you know, things and ways to make money and like they're just such brilliant, like a brilliant creative group of folks that I just know that everyone's going to be fine. It's just getting through all of this and then seeing what the landscape looks like 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, you know, and where everything is really going to settle. Because I'm even like thinking about live events and stuff like that. Like, yes. Who's to say what that's going to look like in 6 months? So crazy.
Did you have a chance to watch WrestleMania, Mickey, and see the empty, and I mean the current product with the empty arena? Because I'm curious with your take on it, being a performer and watching your fellow performers perform to no crowd, and you're also someone that's used to being on stage for music as well. The roar of the crowd is so important.
It fuels you, it fires you up, it generates you, it gives you that immediate reaction that you're doing your job correctly, that you're getting the emotion and the reaction that you're going for. And so how do you get that? How do you know that you're achieving your goal without that audience directly right there? Like, our audience is everything to us. And I think that's, you know, true in every sport, really. Like, there's just a certain energy that happens when the group of people are all emoting that same energy, you know. It's like, however, I have to take my hat off to every talent out there. Like, it's hard to perform in front of an empty arena, you know, and without that, the fans fueling you, firing you up behind you, and to be able to adapt and to do all that, it's been crazy. It's been definitely interesting to watch, and I've actually been really, really impressed of the way that, you know, we've been challenged to have to like change the dynamic and really change the product, and it's and do it on the scale of what we're allowed to do with. So it's been definitely interesting.
You recently got a trial doing commentary, which was neat after all these years. You're doing commentary on Main Event. You're someone that is very gifted as far as your mic skills have gone, and that is everything from the stalker for Trish Stratus to hardcore country and Impact. Everything has been really fantastic. How did those skills transfer over to doing commentary, though? Is it a completely different set?
Oh my gosh, it's a completely different set. I don't know. I think you're being very generous when it came to my commentary skills. Like, I felt like I was learning every day. And poor Byron I loved it. It was so much fun, but it was super challenging. Like, I don't think that we, you know, as performers, and I only know because I've guest commentated before, so I was aware of having different people in your ear and stuff like that. But it is super challenging to come up with ways to say the same thing,
right,
without saying it the same way, or like creative ways to like come in and out of and to go into your point. And then if you get thrown something that you need to talk about, it's hard. Like, that is hard. So everyone who sits at that commentating and that announces table, like, hats off to you, because that is hard. And I started to feel like I was actually starting to find my groove and get more comfortable and find my own personality and not feel so tense of like, okay, just don't trip over your own tongue and provide a relatable, so the fans can kind of understand from my perspective. And I do provide that on that aspect of like, I have been in the ring, so I do know what those moves feel like. I know what it's like to be in most of those situations and what I might do, you know, in that situation. So I can provide that.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I understand what you're saying. The former performer shifting into the commentary booth, I actually thought someone who did it very well was Taz, because he could explain the holds, what they did, conduct the storyline, get the performers over by being there, as opposed to getting himself over. And I think that's the goal when you are making the transition over as a color commentator. So you're I think you're in the right headspace for it.
Thanks. I'm trying. I could keep sharpening my skills. You never know. There might be a future for me.
Is that something you're interested in? Because my next question was going to be, you know, in this part of your wrestling career, 20 years in, what's left? Like, what do you still want to do?
I want to win the championship at least one last time.
Mm. Do you have a preference on the brand? Because there's three.
There is three. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't say that. I don't have I feel like I have a little bit of an affinity to Raw because I started my career on Raw.
Right.
And I feel like I've done some amazing work on Raw. And then I wasn't on SmackDown very long the first time around. I worked with Michelle McCool and Layla over on SmackDown. But like my first run.
we,
and then...
We don't have to go into that era.
I found it ironic because I came back on SmackDown
right.
With Alexa. So that was cool. So, you know, it's obviously it's different, but I don't know. I feel like I could have I've thought of some really cool, like I could have a hell of a match with Becky. I could have a hell of a match. I love what Bayley's doing right now. I already know, like, that's what I'm just, I always look at it in that element of the story of like, okay, where would I fit in that story? Because that's where it is for me. It's not just about the matches or like, oh, what felt would you want to go for? Like, that's not the key element of that. It's more about the story and what type of ride could I take him on to never forget and have that match and that story go down in history as one of the greatest of all times. Because you know why? It wasn't that it was the greatest match maybe that they've ever seen in their life, but it made them feel a genuine emotion. And that's where the money is. And that is what I want.
My thanks to Mickie James for hanging out for a few minutes there. And there is a lot more of that interview. I'm talking like half of that interview is still to go. I edited it on down to give you guys some of the more relevant parts to the wrestling audience, but there's a lot more. If you want to hear it, it is up on our Patreon, or it will be up on our Patreon this week. So become a member, patreon.com/snmeradio. I'm due to put up the Uncut Big Show interview, the Mickie James interview. We also have All Elite Weekly, which is a show with Dan the Mouth Avransky and Joe Aguinaldo. Plus, we have clips of The Late Shift, and we have all of the trivia show I do. There's lots of stuff up there each and every week. So if you want it, patreon.com/snmeradio. It also includes the Midweek Market, which is now, for the next few weeks, featuring my guest in the next hour of the show. Mark Andrada joins me. So we will chat about all that happened this week on TV as far as AEW and WWE goes, because the current product continues on with the cockroach of the sports and entertainment industry, pro wrestling. But hey, at least we have something to talk about. And we will do that for a whole nother hour right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/snmeradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2-hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include the Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/snmeradio.